better and then the implementation, because they've generally done it themselves, they've got QI experience, and they've also usually received training through Mentor University at SHM. So Mentor implementation just means that we've created a toolkit that lists a lot of tips for effective quality improvement and effective implementation around protocol and order set design, measurement strategies, how to engage the front line, how to get institutional support, and all things of that nature. And we've had toolkits like that before, but what we noticed was while people were downloading the guides, the success rate was good in some hospitals and not so good in others, but it just felt like they needed something more to get them over the hump.
So just self-serve, self-education, self-actualization often wasn't enough.
Right. So they hit a barrier, and even if the ways to address that barrier were somewhere in that implementation guide, they wouldn't remember that that lesson was there. So a big part of Mentor implementation is that it provides methods to get over the barriers or get around barriers or to take advantage of a situation, and that advice is longitudinal, ongoing throughout the project.
Yeah.
So that it's not just that somebody tells you how to do it and walks away. You basically get materials, you get coaching, you have longitudinal follow-up over the course of 12 to 16 months or so. And in some of these projects, you also have a site visit. So in Project Boost especially, we've had site visits where the coach will go to the site a tremendous amount in a short amount of time. There'll be a series of one-on-one webinars. In other words, I'm dealing with just one improvement team, usually a hospice leader and sometimes a few of their co-leaders in pharmacy or nursing, and I'm giving them one-to-one advice that's tailored individually for their institution. They've all got the same toolkit, but I'm going to take what they tell me this time, give them tailored advice and guidance to help them lead their project more effectively. So we're not leading the project for them. We're trying to coach them to lead it more effectively themselves. We give them written feedback, suggestions, to-do lists. We give them a follow-up phone call or webinar, one-on-one webinar, follow up on it. And the next time we follow up on those items and go through the same items and see where they're at. So it's iterative in some fashion that we're going over a lot of the same structure every time. But since they keep making progress, we're taking on the barrier that's most important to them on that call. In addition to this one-on-one mentoring that's going on, we have webinars that go to all the sites at once. And they're also part of a community, an online community that has very active listservs, data repositories, ways to measure themselves against not only their past performance, but against other hospitals as well.
And the mentor is sort of a piece of that larger weave of services to really help the hospital make progress on the issue.
Right.
And it's important that the mentor has not only the clinical understanding of the topic at hand, but also brings quality improvement knowledge, adult education knowledge, how to actually take that clinical information and use it.
Yes. Basically, many of them have formal quality improvement training. Those that don't have at least frontline experience with quality improvement and have done it themselves, so
yeah,
they've learned a lot of the tips and techniques, sometimes through SHM programs. And what I think is very telling is that many of the people who've been mentored in one topic go on to become a mentor in another topic. They're taking those skills, and they're portable skills to different topics. So it's the same principles, they're just applying them to other topics. It's a fairly expensive and labor-intensive model because you're assigning each hospital a one-on-one mentor longitudinally, and they're providing email support. And then we've got a data center, so for glycemic control, we had to construct a whole computer system to help people upload their data and a whole analysis center that would allow them to have good reports around how well they were doing for hypoglycemia and glycemic control. So that kind of infrastructure is kind of expensive, in addition to the community and the listserv and all the things that go into that. But it's still a very effective and, I think, cost-effective strategy because the chances of success are so much higher. And we're fostering leadership and QI skills. That's one of the main goals of this. And so those people who learn that skill spread it within their own system. We develop tools that can help implementation across everyone with this common electronic health record, like Cerner or Epic, for example. So it's a variety of spread mechanisms that go on outside of just everyone being in a mentor implementation program. So those people go on to mentor sometimes not only formally through SHM, but they go on to mentor other people in their own hospitals and in their own systems.
So this labor-intensive investment is not disproportional to the challenges of actually changing professionals' behavior and changing the culture of how institutions address these issues.
So when you take that into account, things that really ratchet up the chance of success for modest investment, it's really good investment, especially when you're teaching the skills, not just getting it done for them. When we first started this, we didn't have common data elements. We would just ask the site, so how are you doing on VT prophylaxis? What are the measures that you use? How are you doing on glycemic control and hypoglycemia prevention? How are you doing on readmission? Well, these people didn't have common measures, and so we would have lots of positive anecdotes, but no hard data. And we're just now starting to publish some of the data and some of the benchmarking and some of the things that will support that we think we've had good success. And that data is just going to get better as we go on, as we get more sophisticated in this data management and collation. So, no, the answer is I can't give you an exact number. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but when we ask people, how many of you had a standardized order set for VTE prevention that was in place and touching almost all the patients before you started and after the DVT prevention protocol? And the numbers would go from like 20% to 90%. We asked them, before we had standardized measures, what was your prophylaxis rate before you started of appropriate prophylaxis? And they'd say 40 or 50. And at the end, 90% would say at least 80%.
And those are
answers like that.
Yeah, those are big jumps.
But they weren't all necessarily using the same measures. So now we're trying to get to the point where we all have the same measurement system for those things. So it is a weak spot that we don't have like randomized controlled trial data where everybody uses the same measures. But we are just starting to publish Project Boost stuff, glycemic control stuff. And a lot of the people that we've mentored have gone on to win awards in VT prevention and things like that. I can only tell you, I think it's one of the most worthwhile and fun things I've done in my career programs.
So you mentioned Mentor University. Can you tell me a little more about that?
Sure. So we started this because some people know the topic real well, but some people know how to improve things real well on their own site, but they might not understand the nuances of how to coach and the challenges that can come up when you're dealing with people on the phone and some challenge comes up. So we wanted to, first of all, make sure that the mentors all understood very well the toolkit and all the principles and could appreciate all the learnings that we had accumulated around a particular topic. Second, at Mentor University, we teach them coaching techniques and go over common barriers and how they've been handled and how they can handle them. And we make sure that they know about all the tools that we've already built out to help mentors deal with those issues. So things like making sure they know about the newsletters and what they contain and make sure they know where there is materials that we've already answered this question 20 times instead of you writing it all out again. Here's the repository where you can go and answer this question. So it's a lot of things like that, and it's, I think the most important part is it's giving them the experience of mentors who've gone through this and they've seen common situations that might otherwise hijack them or take them by surprise. We prepare them for that moment and give them a way to turn that into a coachable, positive thing.
Do they come to the SHM office, or is this something that's done online, or how does that work? And how much of a time commitment is it to go through Mentor University?